Braced each arm is meant, so Father Joel explains, to be spiritual attractiveness. In other words, people are to be drawn. Drawn to what? Drawn to sanctity. And this applies to all of us. In other words, if a priest is to win people to Christ, then his life must be, and then that terrible English word, attractive. First thing you think of when you hear the word attractive. Well, a beauty shop. Or a beauty parlor. Or, honest, the $600 dress on display on Wall Street in New York. What people won't do to make themselves attractive. But what a difference between being attractive in body and being attractive in soul. And says again, the founder of the handmaids, a priest has the duty to be selflessly lovable. The surest way to repel people is by being selfish. Nothing, and this is after years of experience, nothing is more detestable than selfishness. Then, says Father Fitzgerald, how true this is. The trial of loneliness, having sacrificed marriage, a spouse, and a family, naturally speaking, there is a loneliness in a priest. However, and this is at the heart of priestly sanctity, he must find the joy of friendship, not necessarily, and because of his celibacy, not in physical nearness or companionship with other people. He is to find his companionship mainly, what a word, mainly in God. I've said this before, but not in this context. I mean every syllable of the next sentence. My greatest joy on earth is being alone with our Lord in the Holy Eucharist in the midnight chapel. Oh, but you must have the experience of the joy of companionship with Jesus Christ. Then how to overcome? So repeat applies to all of us. because in so many ways, God provides each one of us with a greater or less amount of loneliness. The deepest friendship, I repeat, the deepest friendship on earth is not with just another human being, but with, if I use the word, another human being who is the living God. Well, that's why everything depends on our faith. I'm sure I've shared this with you before. The sisters, sisters of Saint Francis, who are serving the Holy Father, pray for his meals, take care of his domestic needs, and his private correspondence. And, dare I say it, and making sure that his food is edible. The hours that Pope John Paul II spends before the Blessed Sacrament . No question. The present Pope is going through the most critical age in the Church's history. Nothing like it. The danger of betrayal, like Judas. And again, for some of us, let's say over 50, when the church, as we casually say, was in better shape, to see what's happening in the church today with the number of Judases. Oh, not just how long could I speak? How many months I could tell you about the widespread betrayal of the church by your unfaithful priests? And if only, like in the 16th century, like Luther, or Cranmer, or Zwingli, had the honesty of leaving the Catholic Church and forming, shall we call it, a Church of their own. But no, they insist on remaining and calling themselves Catholic. Widespread betrayal. And finally, says Father Gerald, priests are witness to sin, to the gravity of sin. When, as we have, I'm sure, either read or heard, without identifying the large archdiocese, where some 40 parishes, they specialize in general absolution. as though somehow the modern world has suddenly become a world of saints. And let me tell you, as a priest, one of the hardest trials in a priest's life is to deal with sinners, and often deal with them intimately. Knowing about sin in depth and not becoming worried, anxious, discouraged. That is why either a priest prays, or one of two things happens. He either loses his mind, or he loses his faith. Do you hear me? Finally, generosity of spirit. By generosity we mean giving oneself selflessly to others. And that word selflessly is crucial. Can't be put on an act of generosity or of charity. Oh, the amount of hypocrisy in the practice of so-called charity. Giving oneself selflessly to others, in other words, I don't say not demanding, but not even expecting the one toward whom you are generous, for whom you've spent yourself. You know, that same person do just the opposite towards you. Use you. Abuse you. Do all manner of harm against you. Not he. Not she. Yes, my dear. That's what selfless generosity means. I thought I would bring this out. Again, we're talking, remember, this is a spiritual biography. Father Gerald speaks of two kinds of generosity: accepting the cross and choosing the cross. First, there is no way we can be generous or loving towards others without the cross. And I must have told you this a dozen times. There are two words you never separate, and they are love and pain. Do you hear me? Now, without pain is hypocrisy. Love pays. And the more deeply it loves, the more dearly it pays. That's love. In teaching the non-Christian religions, which I have over the years, I have told my students, and in many cases, like at the State University, most of them not Catholic, many not even Christian. I tell them, among the religions of the world, there is one outstanding religion. I could be a Hindu or a Buddhist. If I knew my comparative religion, I'd say the same thing. The most outstanding religion in the world is Christianity. Christianity alone gives meaning to suffering. And it could not be a deeper meaning than to believe, as we do, that God, having joy set before Him, chose the cross. But back to our subject. We can be generous in accepting the cross. And let's be honest. You are not even generous. Forget it. Drop the word from your vocabulary. Unless you are ready to accept the cross. Then generosity and love are fakes. Spelled F-A-K-E-S. However, we're talking about priests. The need they have. Not only accepting the cross, but choosing the cross. In other words, choosing to do things which he would not be obliged to do under pain of sin. And foreseeing this is going to be a costly act of generosity. So what? That's what authentic, honest to God love is all about. Third, generosity without zeal is spurious. Zeal, as we know, is the desire to share our faith with others. I've said this how many times, and I've learned over the years, maybe repeating something means nothing. It all depends on how seriously those who may hear the words take what is being said. We have the true faith. We have the living God in human form in our midst. We have all the means at our disposal to live holy, selfless lives. However, we are to share this faith with others. I've said it before, but I want to reemphasize. Either we share our faith with others, or we risk our own salvation. Nothing we received, and the word is nothing we received, is meant to be hugged and kept for ourselves alone. And the most precious possession we have is not money. Is not a job. It is our faith. And with no apologies, I ask all of you to examine your consciences on what you are doing to share your faith with others. And don't you dare object. But I don't want to, be pushy. I don't want to, convince others that the faith that I have is a true faith. Because they already have whatever they believe. We have been so brainwashed. I use that word deliberately. So brainwashed in our country. That I'm afraid for most Catholics, the last thing that occurs to them is they're supposed to, well, what a mild verb, share their faith with those who don't have it. Hear it. As not an option, as an obligation. Number 4, St. Paul, and this is what, again, the founder of the Handmaids says, St. Paul is our great model of apostolic zeal. How much he traveled across the Mediterranean, and not only without a plane, but even a steamship. When people tell me, see my own brethren, John, all this traveling you're doing, do you know what you're doing? Sure, I know what I'm doing. There are souls to be saved. There is a heaven and a hell. Then, 2 closing comments. Converted sinners are marvels, or I would prefer models of generosity. That's St. Paul, that's St. Ignatius. Believe me, St. Ignatius was no saint before his conversion. Oh, the stories I could tell about Ignatius before his conversion. And the more we've seen in the past, the more we should, well, convert sinners in the future. And finally, the statement of the devil to the Curia of Ars. You know who the Curia of Ars was? Remember? The French pastor who spent 14 plus hours a day in the confessional. More priests, 3 more priests, like you, the devil told him, my kingdom would be destroyed. Unquote. Saint John Vianney, quoting the devil. How we need holy, zealous, selfless priests. Pray that Christ may give us such priests. And wherever you can, to inspire priests to become holy. Amen. When does our next class start? What time? 3:15. Oh, no. Started 3:05. This class begins at 3:05. You've got the whole of Islam to cover. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, 305.
Father, did you see this? Michigan Catholics?